Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Welcome to the Riot Podcast, and happy birthday to Mac Daddy Pete Robertson. How you doing today, Pete?
I feel old.
The big 5-0.
Can you believe it?
Half a century. Yeah. You are entering the third quarter, my friend.
I'm halfway to 100.
I hope the halftime speech was good, because it's the second half now, baby.
Yeah, last week we were in Milan, and this week we're celebrating my 50th birthday. So, how exciting.
How's it feel to be 50?
Your body feels it. I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was 30, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm getting old. Then when you get in your 40s, your eyes go away. You're like, yeah, I feel like I'm getting old. Then you get in your 50s and you wake up that one morning and you're like, wait, why does my back hurt like that? Or why is my arm?
You lifted a pencil 2 days ago.
Yeah. And it's just arthritis comes in more, I guess. Cause you're feeling the, you know, where's that? Why is my knee acting up right there? Or what's this going on in my tweak in my back? And I don't know.
Our bodies are temporal, Pete.
But you know what else? It's the wisdom that comes. You know, you remember when you were young, you thought you had everything together. And it was like...
You thought you knew it all.
Yeah, you did. But then when you get older, you start realizing...
Now you know you don't know.
You didn't know much, right? There's just a lot of wisdom that comes as age, you know? And that's why I love hanging out with older people. I just love to hear them talk.
Wait, are you calling me old?
Well, not just you, but I'm just saying like our father's age, you know, in our, you know, 70s, 80s, you know, those kind of thing. It's just, I love to hear their stories. You know, I was with friends of ours. We went to Longhorn a few weeks ago or whatever. And I'm just sitting there and they're, you know, they're in their 80s and late 70s or whatever. And like, tell me stories. You know, tell me stories about your childhood. Tell me stories about, you know, what it was like. And they were talking about bootlegging and moonshining and, you know, and it was just cool because, you know, their generation, the way that they were is different than yours, but there's a lot of stories, but they learned so much wisdom. Yeah. Don't do that or do this. And I don't know.
They walked uphill both ways to school, all that good stuff.
But there's truth in that. So I always told somebody that, you know, my dad always told me when he was going that he had to walk in the snow and he had to walk, you know, both ways or whatever. And I thought, was that real? And he goes, yeah, that was real. That was really what it did. And I didn't have shoes and that's real. I'm telling you the truth on that. But he goes, I want you to experience some of that. So I had to ride when I was in school. I rode my bike for 3 miles to school. And so I had to go a long ways. It wasn't short. And then when we were in high school, my wife and I, we had to go a long way. She had to go like 3 miles on our bike or walk.
You were married in high school?
No, but I mean, we were together, but I mean, it was a distance. Today, that's not going to happen too much, is it? I mean, some kids maybe, but.
That's good. I remember in high school, I rode my bike and it was at least 3 miles in high school until I got my driver's license. Then I don't know where my bike went.
Of course not. No. Here's the other thing is on my 16th birthday, I was at the DMV and I was getting.
Oh, me too. That day. In fact, I bought a car 6 months before that and was working on it and getting it all ready to go.
Yep. So did I. And I paid for the car with my own money.
Yep. Same.
And, you know, a lot of kids today, they don't do that, but I saved up and had my own car and.
Exactly.
Yeah. A different That's lifestyle cool. today.
Different world back there, Sonny.
Today,
get off my lawn.
Today, the kids and the mentality is give me fast food, easy, easy, easy.
I feel like I'm getting old. I was talking to my wife about all these prices and everything's going up. And she's like, Bob, everything's more expensive. And I heard myself talking. I'm like, oh my goodness, I turned into an old man.
It's like, you know, you look back when I was a kid, minimum wage was $2.25, right? And it went up to, I remember when I got older, it went up to like $4.25. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's just, you know, it's crazy. But things were cheap back when, you know, you could buy a, you could buy a house.
Cheeseburger was like 25 cents. So.
You could buy a car for $5,000, you know, and it was a good car.
I paid $800 for my first car, cash for it.
I paid $500 for mine. Yeah. But that's what you do.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we have a car. My first car. What was your first car? My car was a Volkswagen Rabbit diesel.
Oh, you'll like this because you're an Italian fan.
Huh.
First car, it was a Fiat.
Really?
It was a chocolate brown 4-door sedan that looked like a box. It was like that. It just, it was square as
was
could
be. Fiat even big
back no then? Yeah, nobody even big. Knew what a Fiat was. It was a stick shift, of course, because yeah. my dad, all my cars
were stick shift
drive. And yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, they don't, do they make stick shifts now?
I don't know.
I don't even think they do.
I saw a meme, or maybe it was just a sign at a valet that said no stick. The valet drivers can't drive a stick shift.
Yeah. That's true. You might get one, the older one.
It's like you want to confuse people nowadays. You just,
hey, fight me the 50 in order crowd. Come here. You need to drive the car.
Put a rotary phone and a stick shift in front of you know today's youth, and they'd be like, what do I do? What do I do?
That's funny. Anyway.
But we have no patience. Can you imagine just them trying to dial a phone one, number with a rotary dial? Oh, my goodness. Their minds would explode.
That's how it is, or we put the phone on the wall and then we have the cord that goes around the whole house.
Yeah, it was such a big deal when we got like a long cord so you could go and sit on the couch. You didn't have to stand in the kitchen.
Or we would be talking on the phone downstairs and our sister would be upstairs, or our brother, and we'd be listening to the phone, you know, quietly so they can't tell that we're listening. Ever done that?
No.
You didn't do that?
No. Oh. That would be an invasion of personal
space. Oh, that's what it was. Always the case.
And what an awful brother. You
Christine's are. Family did that to us all the time.
All right. Fun times. I like reminiscing with you. Yeah. Now I feel really old. But happy birthday, Pete.
Thank you.
I'd sing to you, but...
No.
Happy birthday.
There to me.
To Pete.
Happy birthday.
To Petey.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Today is the birthday.
Yeah, if you're not watching on YouTube, you are missing out. You're getting special graphics and everything. I don't know. Mine's not working.
It's a funny thing sign. That we get in our...
Anyway, accounts. Sorry. Poor people that are just listening to the podcast are like, what's going on? All right, our title today, Pete, this is a good one. This is like, it sounds like an insurance commercial.
Are you a good neighbor?
State Farm is there. Oh, no. Now they have to pay us.
Yeah.
For dropping their name.
Today's sponsor.
We got to get back on right here. Let me pray and then I'll jump into the opening statement.
Good.
Lord, we love you. We thank you. I thank you for my brother, Pete. I pray that he has just an amazing birthday, Lord. Celebrate him today. And then, Lord, as we just go through this show with our listeners, we thank you for them. We pray that they would hear from you today because of the discussion. And we're going to just dive back into the book of Genesis and kind of got a little shift here, Lord. And I pray that you would just bring new meaning to it. Just speak to us through it, and we just look forward to what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in last week's show, we discussed in detail the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember?
Actually, it was 2 weeks ago, because last week we were in Milan, before that, but yes. That's good.
Excellent. So, 2 weeks ago. And compare the difference now between how Lot lived according to worldly ways and how Abraham made choices based on spiritual guidance. It was a very powerful show, Pete. It was fun, and I learned a lot. And I highly encourage our listeners, if you haven't listened to that show 2 weeks ago, go back and check it out. So this week, we're going to read Genesis 20. So we're just going to turn the page, go to Genesis 20, and here we will see that Abraham and Sarah are moving. Nobody likes to move, Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, I sell houses for a living, and I can tell you, people do not like to move. No. And as with all moves... And when you go into a new area, you meet new neighbors. Well, I hope you meet your neighbors anyway.
You would hope.
Today, we will be introduced to Abraham's new neighbor, the king of Gerar. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Gerar.
His name is Abimelech.
Abimelech.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
Abimelech.
Abimelech.
Yeah.
I'll work on that.
Right.
In a complete shift. Isn't that weird how, like, when you're just reading, you know, you may say it some way in your head and then,
all the time, especially in the Bible.
And then you hear somebody else say it and you're like, oh, that's how it was supposed to be pronounced. Yeah. Abimelech.
Yeah.
Okay. In a complete shift from last week's show, this week we see Abraham acting out of fear of his neighbor and operating in a way influenced by his flesh rather than his spirit. He takes control of his life by telling Abimelech that his wife Sarah is his sister. Abimelech then takes Sarah to be his wife. What?
Yeah.
And God has to interfere once again to protect Abraham.
Now, the truth is, and we're going to see this today, she is his half-sister.
Yeah, he's telling the truth, but he's being deceptive.
Oh, there's major deception. Yeah.
Neighbors can be a great source of blessing and can sometimes become even closer to us than some of our own relatives.
True.
See Proverbs 27:10. It says this, better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away.
Have you had that? I mean, I've had neighbors and friends that have...
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
well,
like
both my brothers are far away too. So
but yeah, same with me.
I can relate. Yeah. I can relate.
Yeah.
All right. However, neighbors can also be a source of problems. What? Well, so can family. Whether I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Whether they are believers or unbelievers. In fact, at times we ourselves can be difficult neighbors. In today's show, we see Abraham dealing with his neighbor as a troublemaker.
Yeah. So next, when we get into Genesis 21, we're going to see him as a peacemaker. But here, man, he's going to be called on the carpet as a troublemaker. So,
all right. So we're going to be reading from the ESV today, chapter 20 of Genesis. And Pete's going to help me pronounce some of these names.
Yeah, we're just going to go through the whole thing.
Just read the ESV, whole thing. Yep. So there's only 18 verses, so not too bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to have some pronunciation issues here for sure. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of
Negeb. Yep.
And lived between Kadesh and Shur.
Yep.
All right. And he sojourned. Why do I always struggle?
Sojourned is hard, yeah.
He sojourned in Gerar. Oh, I like that. Like a tiger or a lion. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And
Abimelech,
king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man. Wow. Because of the woman who you have taken, for she is a man's
wife.
That's
judgment right there.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Back up, Pete.
Yeah.
Isn't Sarah 90 years old here?
No. This is a different part.
Oh, we're back. We back back up. Yeah. Okay, my bad.
All right.
Now, not that that would change it. I just it was weird to me.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Abimelech had not approached her. So he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called his servants, and told them all these things. And the men were very afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have you sinned against, and how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin?
Wow. So here's a heathen basically rebuking.
Calling out the prophet, right?
Yep.
You have done to me the things that should not have been done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see? What did you, that you did this thing? Abraham said, I did it because I thought there is no fear in God in all of this place and that they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah, he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you. And before everyone, you are vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. Wow. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Wow, what a story.
It's just crazy. I mean, what happened back when, and this is a true story, so we get to talk about it and just break it down. So let's go for it.
All right. If you did not know who Abraham was and you read this chapter for the very first time, which of the two men would you say was the believer?
Right? Right?
Surely not Abraham, the liar. It was not Abraham who showed integrity. It was not Abraham who God kept from sinning. What Abraham did was selfish, but Abimelech responded with generosity. Like, that blows me away, all the gifts and everything he gave him to try to make things right.
It was like, you know, Abimelech was coming as this gentle man trying to do what's right. And here's this deceiver, you know, the prophet of God, the friend of God, you know, trying to deceive him. And I, you know, just let's just back up for a second. Can you just comprehend giving your wife over to another guy to be married to her? I can't even comprehend that.
So, and for selfish reason, because he doesn't want to be killed.
Yeah, because like, he was fearful, because the fear of God's not here. So I'm fearful. So obviously he wasn't trusting God in this. And remember, this already happened once before. So this is the second time. So obviously Abraham didn't learn about this first time.
Yeah, he's done this twice.
But it was Abimelech who shows excellent character, not Abraham, you know, the friend of God. But before we draw any conclusions, let's unpack the facts revealed in this passage of scripture. Abraham's failures were tragic, but from them, we learned some valuable lessons to help us in our walk of faith. So let's dive in and unpack this.
Okay. So if this chapter was talking about our lives, it would be an embarrassment to us.
Absolutely.
But the Bible tells the truth about all people. That's something I love about the Bible. Yeah. And that includes God's people. For example, it did not hide the fact that Noah got drunk and exposed himself in Genesis 9, or that Moses lost his temper and killed someone in Numbers 20. It definitely didn't hold back in exposing David with his affair and murder to cover it up, nor Peter in his denial of Jesus 3 times.
Yeah.
Why do you think the Bible allows these shortcomings to be written down, Pete?
I love that. And it's a deep thought, you know, so you really have to ponder, what is God doing here? And I love, like you said, it's authentic, right? It's bringing authenticity to this. But first thought is it encourages us not to sin, but more importantly, it warns us to beware of sin. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So, you know, it's first is, you know, don't sin. I mean, there's consequences. So I'm going to reveal to those consequences. But another thing is like, hey, next time you're tempted to do that, don't do it. So it's kind of warning you, right? So I think the Bible, I think God is just saying, hey, this is reality. This is truth. This is what happens. And I'm just trying to encourage you not to do that. But after all, if these great men of faith disobeyed God, then we ordinary saints had better be very careful, right? So 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So I think, again, I think we're prideful people. We think, oh, that's never going to happen to us. But when I really analyze my own life, it's happened a lot in my life. I've done some really stupid things in the flesh. I've justified things in the flesh. I've justified my stance. I've justified my actions with the Bible verse. I've taken the Bible verses out of context and justified what I'm doing. I said, well, God said this, and this is what he was saying, and that's where I was at. But if I really examined my heart, there was fear, there was worry, there was control, there was lust, there was greed. There was something deep inside of me that was controlling it. So we're not going to point a finger at Abraham here. We're going to just learn from this and say, thank you, Jesus, for revealing to us Abraham's stupidity, because it should help warn us and help us to, you know, understand that there's consequences to sin and we can stay away from them and walk close.
So, yeah, I love that it's in there. I think it helps us, reminds us not to be prideful and not think, well, I'm such a good Christian. This would never happen to me. Well, it happened to David. It happened to Abraham.
Yeah.
It's like, don't think, you know.
Don't lie to yourself and say that you're not doing stupid things, because you've fallen short, as all of us have.
So true. Yeah. So why do you think Abraham sinned?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the question, right? So what brought him to this? He talked about the fear. He talked about that. So obviously fear and anxiety causes us to do stupid things. We get that. But for one thing, though Abraham had a sinful nature like all of us, he had been justified by faith. So just remember this, Genesis 15:6, we covered this. God gave him a new name, but that did not change his old nature. You know, old things are passing away, but it doesn't mean they've all passed away. It's a process. It's going on. So God gave him a new name, but did not change his old nature. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But because of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, believers can have victory over the old nature, but this isn't automatic. We must walk in the Spirit if we hope to overcome temptation. Abraham chose to walk in the flesh, and it could have cost him greatly if it weren't for God intervening on his behalf. And so I think sometimes we play the grace card. I think sometimes we think, well, God's going to forgive me, so that's why I'm going to do it. But I know I just repent, and God's, and we lighten it up. We dirty it, right? We don't make the sin that great, but it's great. It's huge. because there's consequences and God's not always going to intervene. You reap what you sow. And there might come a time that you might just sin and be stupid and you're going to pay the price. You might be in jail. You might have a divorce. You might, you know, be in misery and destroy the relationships or lose the job or, you know, be financially bankrupt or whatever it is. You might make that move and think that God's going to forgive you. Now he will forgive you, but he might not intervene to save you like he did here with Abraham. He might just say, you know what? It's going to play itself out. And, you know, we look at David's life. David had chaos in his family. You know, after Bathsheba, his son Absalom and all these things, there was constant chaos and that never left him. That was reaping what he sowed. You will reap it. So is it better to run from these temptations and it's better to walk in the spirit and run away from the flesh? Absolutely. Because you're going to have peace. You're going to have harmony. You're going to have joy. You know, you're going to have there's going to be a change in your life. But if you're going to continue to go in sin or play the sin card, you're going to reap what you sow.
So good. So true. All right. This leads me to a second question. Why did Abraham move in the first
place? That's a great question.
Perhaps it was the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that caused Abraham to want to move. But whatever his motive was, we now know the decision was not a wise one.
Yeah, because I mean, I know that remember when we first started talking, we talked about how he had an altar and he had his tent, right? And so he pitched his tent and then he moved as God moved. And we know that because remember what happened with the Israelites in the wilderness? They moved as a Shekinah glory moved. They followed the Shekinah glory and they moved throughout. I feel like God wants us to be able to move. He doesn't want us to like, this is where it has to be. This is where I have to go. I'm not going to budge at all. This is it. Da, 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 da. And without being flexible to whatever God says, God might want you to move, but we might hold on to our property or our house or our things so tightly. And we're not giving God any freedom there. And so we do that, but there's also a negative reason for moving. And by the context here, it seems like there was flesh involved because of what happened next, right? Because of the movement, because of things. So we don't know exactly what's going on in his brain, but I do know that Abraham did not go down to Egypt as he's done in before in Genesis 12. He had that mistake down there with Pharaoh. You remember that? But he was still within the boundaries of the land that God promised to give him, but his move put him in a dangerous position. That's what makes me wonder, because God, if God's calling us to something, it's you can sense the divine order in it. But here, he puts himself in a dangerous position. So it makes me wonder if there's flesh involved. Why is he going here? Why is he doing this? Why is he putting himself in this vulnerable position? Was this ordained by God? And based off of his actions and his statement, we can draw the context from this and say, no, this was his flesh. So why did he move? There was something in him that wanted to go. There was something in him that thought the land was better somewhere else or that he wanted to do it. That's the context here. That's all we can draw because it's not God leading it. It doesn't say God moved him. It doesn't say God showed up and said, hey, time to move. It's just, he just went, he just pilgrimed.
Yeah. It's like he was leaving a situation and not being called to a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's two things here. So part of it, we need to be free that God can change us and adjust us, right? If God called me somewhere, then I have to be free to do that. I can't fight that. But at the same time, why am I going? We have to check our heart and make sure that God was there. But the bottom line is Abraham began to walk by sight and not by faith. That's what we can see. We know this because it says he began to be afraid in verse 11. Fear of man and faith in God cannot dwell together in the same heart. Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So if he's walking in the spirit and he's being obedient to God, if God be for you, nothing can be against you. It's when God is on our side, we have complete boldness. We have complete confidence. We have complete peace. Because God fights the battles. But if God is not in that and we're doing it in our flesh, then we're fighting the battle. That's where the fear comes in. And that's what we can say.
When we're on God's side. Yeah. God's not on our side, right?
Yep.
All right. It's almost like Abraham forgot that God was the Almighty God that we studied back in Genesis
15.
And that God gave Abraham a covenant to to bless him and Sarah.
And it's like, how many times have you, has God blessed you supernaturally? Just, I mean, your, the birth of your daughter, just there was a supernatural experience that took place, but then you look forward and you think God showed up in such a radical way, but then you doubted him, or you second guessed him, or, you know, it's like you look back on our lives and sometimes you're like, man, God did this and this and this and this and this, and he's so good. And he's dead. And, but then some circumstance happens.
Get you off course.
And it's like, and then you look back and like, why in the world did I do that? And that's kind of what I'm sensing here. Mm. We do not, we do that when we choose to live a life of our way, our, for our way and not of God. So, I mean, so it's like, you know, something inside of us says, I know God's not going to want to do that, but I really want it. Right. I really wanted to do this. And so it's like, we're just basically usurping God's perfect will with our own will. The basic cause of Abraham's failure was a sad fact that he and Sarah had failed to judge this sin when they had dwelt in this, in Egypt. So God revealed to them that this was a sin, that you didn't do that. And they did not call out that sin at that time. They didn't say, this is a lie. They didn't say, this is a sin. They didn't do that. That obviously they didn't do that. They had admitted this sin to Pharaoh and they confessed it to God, but the fact that it surfaced again indicates that they did not judge the sin and forsake it.
Mm.
So in fact, the sin had grown worse, for now Sarah shared in on telling of the lie. A home kept together by a lie is a bad shape. It's a bad home. So if there's a sin that God reveals to you and you keep doing that sin over and over and over and over and over again, you have not identified that sin as a lie. You have not identified it and rectified with it and got rid of it.
Hmm.
You've kept it still inside of you. That's the reason why it keeps going up. You, something has to settle in your mind to completely alienate yourself from that lie. So that's what happened.
So, wow.
Yeah.
All right. A lighthearted admission of sin is not the same as a brokenhearted confession of sin. I think that's what you're saying.
Yep.
If our attitude is right, we will hate our sin, loathe ourselves for having sin, and despise the very memory of those sins.
Yeah, there's, I've done this, so I know this. I mean, I know that my past and certain sins that were there, I've had to identify them, and God says that's not the right way. I've had to, in my mind, say that is not of God and completely distance myself from that mentality. But there's other sins in my life today that I still struggle with that I still haven't fully come to terms with and that I'm still working through them. And what God is telling me and he's telling you and he's telling us listeners is if there's a sin that God has told you is wrong, you have to identify that and you have to say no in the name of Jesus and say, I am no longer, no matter what, I'm staking the claim. I am not going to allow this sin to continue on in my life from this day forward. And you have to rebuke it and you have to run from it and you have to distance yourself from it. But people who remember their sins with pleasure and enjoy them again in their minds have never judged their sins or seen how sinful their sin really are. My mind is corrupt. I have things of my past that I've seen or done, and every once in a while it'll pop into my head. And I was like, why did that come from? Where did that come from? It's because I have to identify that I don't want to draw to that. Hmm. I don't want to go to that. I have to rebuke that and remove myself from that mentality. And Abraham obviously did not do that. And look at what happened. He got caught up into it again. So, all right.
Abimelech was a man of integrity, and when God spoke to him, he obeyed. He had many fine qualities, but he was not a believer, and therefore was a dead man, according to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Wow. And you were dead in the trespasses of sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we have all lived, or once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out our desires of the body and mind, were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Again, that's Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3.
So we have to get this. So when he said, he went to Abimelech and he says, you're a dead man. It was judgment. Okay. He didn't go to Abraham and say, there's judgment. Yeah. Get the context here.
Wow.
He went to Abimelech and he says, judgment. You're a dead man. Period. Dead. And Abimelech had two choices. What do I do with this? Right. And so he accepted it as, wait, this, I have to humble myself. And he did. And we saw that he did. And then what it said is God blessed his family, opened up the wounds again and helped them to have children and so forth. But you have to get that. So without Christ, we're dead men, period. All of us. Okay. That we will spend eternity in hell separated from God. That's what dead man is. Our flesh will die and we will spiritually live separated from God in eternity in hell for the rest of our lives, mm-hmm. for eternity. Okay. This isn't to minimize the enormity of Abraham's sin. Okay. For a believer should not do what Abraham did, but Abraham and Abimelech had two different standings before God. We have to see this. One was saved by faith and the other was lost, completely lost, had no clue, no faith, right? Believed other gods. Any unsaved person who wants to use Genesis 20 as ammunition against believers had better consider his or her spiritual condition before God. Mm. If unsaved people accept what the Bible says about Abraham, that he lied, then they also must accept what the Bible says about them. They are dead in their trespass and in sins. In spite of his disobedience, Abraham was accepted before God, but Abimelech was rejected and under divine condemnation. God chastened Abraham, but God condemned Abimelech. And so as if we're not children of God, if we're not followers of Christ, we are condemned to death. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he was being condemned to death. He took on the sins of the world. He was condemned to death. He died. He was condemned. But then he rose again as God and saved us for all eternity as the perfect sacrifice. But we are condemned to death. We have to understand that.
I think this is what the world gets wrong so often. In our physical state, in our minds, we look at Abimelech and like, oh, he's the good guy, so he should go to heaven. I mean, Abraham is a liar, like giving his wife away, prostituting out his wife.
Yep.
You know, why would he go to heaven?
Yep.
The world can't wrap their mind around that.
No. But
it's because they don't understand what you just said. They don't understand the standing.
Yep.
So God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, he doesn't see that.
Nope.
Now, it doesn't mean there's not consequences for the sin.
Right.
But he doesn't see that anymore because of our standing with him. We've already been declared not guilty.
Yep. Our sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow have been covered.
How do you get people to see that?
I know. Yep.
All right. When believers sin, they suffer. Charles Spurgeon said, God does not allow his children to sin successfully.
Amen.
That is so good. When we deliberately disobey God, we suffer both from the consequences of our sins and from the chastening hand of God, unless we repent and submit. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have been endured. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best for them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, those who have been trained by it.
Yeah, amen. So here's how I see the discipline of God. So there's times where you could just sense that the hand of God is not upon it. He's just not going to bless it. You just sense that God's pulled away. And so he's like, you're in on this on your own. You're going to have to go through this. You're going to have to suffer here. And it's like, you know, God at any moment can intervene, but he's choosing to be distanced here. He's choosing to let us work out our salvation here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes tidal waves. Sometimes it takes months, if not years, to really awaken us from our core inside. And sometimes our sin is so grave and we've done such stupid things that it's like, it seems like it just goes on and on and on and on. And you're just like, God, where are you? Why aren't you doing this? And what God is doing is he's loving you during that time. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's still there. His presence is there. But what he's saying is, come unto me. Just humble yourself. Stop kicking against the goats. Stop fighting. Stop pushing your way in this situation. Stop trying to figure this out. Stop trying to make this happen. I just want you to be still and know that I'm God. And if you can do that, if you could be still and know that I'm God, if you could just surrender right now and let me be God of your life, let me work all things together for good for those who are called according to purpose. If you could just stop fighting and just rest with me, then I can restore unto you all that I've promised you. I can restore unto you your purpose. I can restore unto you and make things new. I can do all of this for you. But if you continue to keep fighting, years could pass by. Things can, you can be in this trial for a long time. And God is just basically saying, listen, I love you, but I'm disciplining you. I'm not protecting you from this. You're reaping what you sow. I've told you over and over and over again. I've warned you. I've shared with you. I've showed you how stupid Abraham was. I gave you these verses to help you understand. You knew them, but you still chosen to do it yourself. Now you're reaping what you sow. And that's what's happening. So God in his grace will forgive our sins. We know that. We don't ever doubt that. Okay? He's forgiven our sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But there are consequences from things that we do. 1 John 1:5-10 tells us, but God in his sovereignty must allow sin to produce a sad harvest. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also. So there's a sad harvest. There's a good harvest and there's a sad harvest. The sad harvest is you're in it now. You're in the midst of it, but there could be good. But right now you got to get out of this yourself.
That's a sad truth.
It is.
It's a sad harvest. Yep. You know, it only took Abraham a few seconds to tell a lie, but that lie was more than just words. That lie became a seed that was planted and grew and brought forth bitter fruit.
It did.
There's consequences.
There is. We know that God hates lies. He is a God of truth. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17. And that the Word is the Word of truth, James 1:18. Matthew Henry once wrote, a lying tongue is but for a moment, but truth is the daughter of time. And in time, it will out. It will find you out.
Beautiful.
We want to do truth.
All right. All right. So what did this one lie cost Abraham?
Jeez, that's a loaded question. To begin with, it cost him his character. And the rest of the show, we're kind of going to talk about that. But it cost him his character. Philip Brooks said, the purpose of life is the building of character through truth. God is not just saving souls and taking people to heaven. Through the trials and testing of life, he is making saved people more like Jesus and thereby glorifying himself. Abraham stopped asking what is right and began asking what is safe. And this led to his downfall. Once the salt has lost its taste, how do you restore it? Only through Jesus can this be. Another thing he lost was his testimony. How could Abraham talk to his pagan neighbors about the God of truth when he himself is telling lies?
Wow.
I mean, it's my wife and I talk about this all the time. I my character is everything. And I know if someone were to start lying about things that I've said, I hope that I have done things the right way for so long that people would understand that's not his character.
Yeah, that doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. But know this, I'm still flesh and I'm still human and I still make mistakes. And there is consequences that my character can take a ding. And people can identify and say, wait, no, boy, he made a mistake that one time. Do you remember when he did this? And, you know, he's a great guy, but man, he's susceptible to this. And this weight or this pressure, especially for pastors or leaders, you know, to be perfect. And it's horrible. You know, here's Abraham, the father of our nations, falling short and sinning. You know, we want to judge him. Oh, we want to judge you, but God restored him. God will restore us. But our character and his character was majorly bent here. And not only that, how is he going to witness to his, we're going to see here in a second, it's his neighbors witnessing to him. It's not him witnessing to his character.
Yeah.
And his neighbors in sin. He's not in, he's in the world. And here's Abraham walking with God. So Yeah, we be careful. We don't want our character and our testimony to be ruined.
Amen. I can only imagine how humiliated Abraham must have felt when Abimelech called him in, confronted him, and rebuked him. It's hard enough to submit to the rebuke of a Christian brother or sister, but to accept rebuke from an unsaved person demands a great deal of honesty and humility.
It does. I mean, that took a lot from him. And you got to understand, I mean, this is like, this guy, how dare you? You have 15 wives and you have this and you've been not sacrificing, whatever. And Abraham's like, how dare you tell me that? But no, Abraham had to take it, man. He had to sit there and humble himself right before this king. But in verse 9, he said, you have done things to me that should not be done. Those words had to cut Abraham deep.
Right.
Christians must be careful how they relate to those who are outside and not saved, especially to our neighbors. Overall, he lost his ministry, for instead of being the source of blessings to his neighbors, he was the cause of judgment. So, and he could have lost Sarah and God's promises of Isaac. So it's when we have sin in our life, it can lead us to places that we should have never gone. It can cause us to say things we should have never said. And I know that if this is you and you're hearing this, and maybe there's things in your life that you've been, I used to tell a lie about when I was a kid. I used to tell a lie about, you know, the whole, I caught a fish that was this big, but the fish was like this. Yeah. I used to have one of those stories in my past, and I would always make the fish really big. And I remember one day God saying that, what is that doing? You're just lying. What is that doing? And I had to humble myself in that moment. And Abraham felt like he got away with this before, but he really didn't. He never learned from his sin. And so I think the moral of the story is, you know, talking about being a good neighbor, we want to be of good character so that we are a good neighbor. And we want to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God, so that our character and our testimony is not jeopardized. And I think, you know, if you're listening to this today, God says, hey, I have a purpose for you. I want to bless you. I want to fill you with my power, my spirit. I want to anoint your life. I want to anoint your family. And I want to use you to bring me glory. I want to use your life to witness and to love people and to be a character witness of me. I want you to represent me. But at the same time, be humble about it, knowing that you're imperfect, knowing that you might fall short one day. But don't give in to Satan's lies. Learn from Abraham's decisions here. Learn from this, that we don't have to tell a lie. We don't have to continue in the stupidity that you're doing. You can stop. You can turn from it. You can repent of it. And you could do it now. And you know, if you're listening to this and maybe you haven't given your life to the Lord, well, today's the day. I mean, there's no way that you've listened to this message and God hasn't pricked your heart if he's already moving in you. And all you have to do is just say, God, forgive me of my sins. I repent of this. I turn from my wicked ways. I choose today to surrender my life to you and believe that you are the God, that your son died on the cross and rose again on the third day for my eternal life so I can be saved. And just believe in him and turn from your wicked ways and say, enough is enough of the old past. I choose a new path and follow Jesus. And the Bible says, if you did that, if you cried out to the Lord right now, if you repented of your sins, the Bible says all the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. They are celebrating your salvation. They are celebrating that you no longer are like Abimelech. You are now like Abraham. And so sin, you're not going to be condemned to death through your sin. You're going to be saved. You're going to be blood-bought and forgiven for all eternity. And you're going to live with Jesus for the rest of your life and have eternal life. But if you did give your life, we would love to hear from you. Bob, how could they get a hold of us and reach out to us?
Yeah, great question, Pete. Lots of ways. First of all, I would say go to our website, theriotpodcast.com. Lots of resources there, ways to reach out to us. Give us your contact information. We'd love to help direct you in the right place. But you can also check out all of our social media sites, Facebook to X to YouTube. If you're watching us, that's always awesome. And remember, share the content with somebody. You know, you can click the subscription button and then get notified every time we get a new one, which is, that's kind of cool. Yeah, so just share it, like it, and we would just be honored if you do that. And we want to hear from you. Pete, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, be a good neighbor, right? I mean, if let's bring it here to the 21st century. You know, if our neighbors are living more godly lives than the people that are our followers of God, why would they want what we have?
No, nope, that's true.
So there's lots of powerful lessons in this. Yep. And I think it's still speaking to us today.
Amen.
Oh, what a great show, Pete. Thank you.
Fun time. Yep. Be blessed, guys.
This has been the Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of the Riot Podcast.